Hello and welcome to what I know is going to be a great hour with Jack Canfield. My name is Bill Harris, Director of Centerpoint Research Institute, and it's a great honor to introduce Jack to you. Jack has shared with me what he's going to talk about, and you're going to be very glad to hear what he has to say. As you know, this is a very special audio training. Jack's list of achievements would take much too long to describe here. He's best known as the co-creator of the New York Times best-selling series Chicken Soup for the Soul, which has 150 books in print with astounding sales of over 100 million copies in 39 languages. His latest bestseller, The Success Principles, has been on the New York Times bestseller list, and he's been featured on more than 1,000 radio and television programs, including Oprah, 2020, CNN, The Today Show, Larry King Live, PBS, and many others. In my opinion, there's no one more qualified to teach the principles of success. His teachings have greatly impacted my life, as well as the lives of my students and clients. With that said, let's turn it over to Jack.
Well, thanks for that great introduction, Bill. That was fabulous. I really appreciate it. I'm going to share information with you that can literally change your life, but you need to have all of the information. I'm going to give you as much as I can in 1 hour. And, obviously I do 7-day workshops, so 1 hour is just a little piece of that. But my commitment is to give you as much as I can that can literally change your life. I want to remind you that these principles and strategies for success only work if you work them. As I say in my new book, The Success Principles, the principles always work if you work the principles. And these principles are like gravity. They're universal laws that always apply whether you are aware of them or not. As my friend Jim Rohn says, you can't hire other people to do your push-ups for you, which means that you have to put them into practice. So write down as much as you can. I want to ask you to review these notes before you go to bed tonight. There's research about that. I won't go into it, but trust me, always read your notes that you took that day before you go to bed. It actually furthers the transfer from short-term memory to long-term memory. And then decide which of these ideas you're going to act on first, and write them into your schedule. What we now know is if you don't get it into your calendaring system, it's not going to happen. So get it off the list and into your schedule. Get it on your calendaring pages, put them down on your to-do list, but make sure they're dated when you're going to do them by. Now, as most of you know, I've published the most important book of my life. It's called The Success Principles, How to Get from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. It's already been on every major bestseller list, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Publishers Weekly, USA Today, the Dallas Morning News, you can go right down the list. And the reason it's so successful is it covers 64 principles of success which are guaranteed to change your life. And I'm going to share as many of these principles as I can with you on this call. Now, why so many principles? Why not 7 or 8 or 3 or 4? Because it's what's required to create the breakthrough levels of success that I know are possible for you. Think of cracking the code of success like figuring out the combination to a combination lock. You need to know all of the numbers, and you need to know them in the right order. And unfortunately, many of us have half the numbers, or we don't have them in the right order. So literally, I put together a roadmap that you can use. Always access the book or the tape program that's available as well. You can go to our website, thesuccessprinciples.com, go to amazon.com, where you want to go. All the bookstores have it. So let's start. The first principle I'd like to discuss, and it's obvious, but most people, you have to sit down and decide exactly what you want. And what I teach is you need to decide exactly what you want in 7 different areas of your life. Not just money and career, which are 2 of those areas, but you also need to have specific measurable goals for your relationships, for your physical health and fitness, for the area of your life I call recreation and fun, for your personal area, which I call just things you want to do because you want to do them, like learn to play the piano or go to France for a summer vacation. And then finally, the contribution or legacy that you want to leave to the world based on your experiences. Now, here's the deal. All 7 categories are critical to create a balanced life and a fulfilling life. If you're only pursuing money and career, you're going to leave out the most important parts, which are your relationships, family, kids, parents, spouse, all of that. And what if you lose your health in the process? What if you never have any fun along the way? You're waiting until you retire. Well, some people never get there. And personal, just, you know, we now know that if you just do things that make you feel good, it actually contributes to your success. We'll talk more about that. And then finally, contribution or legacy. I met a guy last year. His name was Greg Barron. He was the owner of the Seattle Seahawks at one point in his career. He's a billionaire. And he said he went through four stages of his life. And the first stage was called more. He wanted more stuff. He figured if he had more stuff, he'd be happier. Well, it didn't make him happier. So he figured he needed better stuff, a better car, a bigger house, whatever. So he went out and got all that stuff, and he still wasn't happy. And then he said he went through the different phase. He figured, well, I just have the wrong stuff. And that's when he said, I bought the Seattle Seahawks. Well, he still wasn't happy. And then one day, one of his other multimillionaire friends said, look, I've chartered a plane, and I'm going to take a bunch of wheelchairs over to Bosnia and Croatia, and we're going to give them to kids who've had their legs blown off by the landmines and other kids who were just born deformed, but they can't move around. They just hide them in the back of the house. We want to give them mobility, give them self-esteem, give them a chance at life. He said, we got on the plane, we flew over there, and we got the chairs out, we started putting kids in them. And he said, the first kid I lifted up was an 11-year-old boy, very skinny. I said, I put him in the chair. I started to go away to get another wheelchair, and the boy wouldn't let go of my leg. And he said, I looked back, and I looked down, and there were big tears just streaming down his face. And he said, the boy was just looking up in his eyes saying, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And he said, I felt pure joy for the first time in my life. And he said, the last segment of his life he now calls purpose. And he realizes that ultimately our purpose is to serve each other with the expression of who it is we really are in the world. So he started the foundation now to give wheelchairs to kids in third world countries. But here's the point. Don't leave that area of service to us out of your game plan. If you have that as part of your career and making money, you're going to make more. If you make other people successful, you're going to be more successful if you serve their real needs. A friend of mine named Mike Millhorn down in Dallas, Texas, he said he had to think out of the box, but he was always looking for how can I fill the needs of others. And he noticed when he was an Avery label salesman, he would go into these stores, restaurants, everywhere he went. And one of the things he noticed in restaurants when he was selling them labels was they would label the food Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, when it came in, so they could use the oldest food first, so they'd always have, you know, not the rotting food sitting in the back. They always wanted to keep it in a proper rotation. And he said the problem was these labels were falling off the food when they put them in the refrigerator, and they had to label them with magic markers and things, and often those would run when they got moist. He thought, if I could get Avery to print labels that said Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday on them, and if I could get them to put an adhesive on that would hang out in the humidity of the refrigerators and not fall off, that would be a great service. Well, he couldn't get Avery to do that, so he started his own company called Day Dots, and he just started producing these in his garage. And he started sending out mailings to different restaurants and so forth. And after 3 years, he had enough business that he could quit his regular job. And now he just sold that company for tens of millions of dollars. And because he found a need and he filled it. So always be looking to be of service, but also make sure you're doing philanthropy, tithing your time, tithing your money to churches and to nonprofit organizations. Anyway, so we have these seven categories of your life, and you want to have at least three specific goals in each of those seven categories, three things you want to achieve in the next year. You can have five-year plans, three-year plans, two-year plans, but at least for sure have a one-year plan for each of those areas. And then write the goals down and review the goals every day. Research done in universities now proves that people that write their goals down, just writing them down and reviewing them once a day, they are 200% more likely to achieve their goals than people who don't. So just writing them down and reviewing them, which is a simple step, and we'll teach you a lot more, is critical. It's radical, but it's simple and it works. The other thing about deciding what you want is most people tend to limit what they want by what they think is possible. And I want you to set down some time and sit down and write down what you'd really like to have if you could have anything you want. Be very, very specific. What kind of house would you live in? What color would the carpeting be? What would the view look like? How much money do you want to make? What's your net worth? What do you get when you retire? How much cash flow do you have in your business? What profit is there? Be very, very specific in each of these areas. But also what I want you to do is pick one specific goal. We're going to call it a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal that would be a breakthrough, a quantum leap for you in your career, something that would require you to stretch would require you to grow, would take you out of your comfort zone. Now, you don't have to have goals like every area of your life, but you want to have one major goal. For Mark and I, in 1992, it was to write a best-selling book. Because we knew if we had a best-selling book and it got on the bestseller list and people would start hiring us more to speak, they'd pay us higher fees because we'd be celebrity draws. It was important for us to do that. Plus, we had what I call a divinely guided inspiration to write a book of stories that would motivate and inspire people. The kind of stories all these motivational speakers and inspirational speakers use to close their talk, get them a standing ovation, moves people to the bottom of their soul. And so we did. And that book, as you know, was called Chicken Soup for the Soul. Well, that book was rejected and turned down by 144 publishers. Here's another key principle. Never give up. When the universe says no, you say next. We went to 33 publishers in New York with our agent. Everyone turned us down. Our agent even turned us down. He gave us the book back and said, I can't sell it. So what we did is we went out and we got 20,000 people to sign a form that said, I promise to buy a copy of Chicken Soup for the Soul when it's published. Because we knew that the publisher said, we know that we can sell 20,000 copies, we would risk the book because that'll recover all our expenses and then everything else would be above that. So we proved we could do it, but we still didn't get the contract. So we went to the American Booksellers Association with all these signed forms after being rejected by a whole bunch of other publishers. There were 4,000 booths of publishers at that conference. There are 10,000 publishers in America. We walked the floor for 2 days going from booth to booth to booth. Would you publish our book? Would you publish our book? Would you publish our book? And every person for the first day said, no, we're not interested. Stupid title. People don't read short stories. Nobody knows who you guys are. Late on the second day, somebody said yes, and they published our book. That book, which nobody wanted, went on to sell 8 million copies in 41 languages and spawned a series of books which Time magazine called the publishing phenomenon of the century. Literally, outselling everything. Now, what happens is we used a lot of these success principles to make that happen. We had this quantum leap goal, and then we applied something we call the rule of five. Every day, do five specific things to move your quantum leap goal forward. All of your other goals, you want to do a couple times a week, make sure you're doing something to forward them. If you were to do one thing every day in those seven areas, like save 10% of your money and invest it, exercise for 20 minutes, meditate, read for an hour, all these different disciplines of success will in fact take you to the next level. But you have to figure out what are those next steps for you. Now, so five things every single day. Sometimes we would send out five emails to people telling about the book, five press releases. Sometimes we'd send out five copies of the book to celebrities, hoping that we call them big mouths because they're people listen to, they're opinion molders. They would tell someone else. Once we actually sent a whole box of books over to the O.J. Simpson trial to Judge Ito to give to all the jury members because we read they were sequestered. They couldn't watch the news. They couldn't read magazines, but they were allowed to read books. Well, a few days later, all the jurors are walking into court carrying this book. Everyone's going, what's that? We got national headlines off of that book. You never know. I teach something called the law of probabilities. Write this one down. The law of probabilities. The more things you try, the higher the probability one of them will work. The more people you meet, the higher the probability one of them will become someone that will help you be more successful. The more people you ask, the higher the probability one of them will say yes. In other words, everything you try, every book you read, every seminar you go to raises the probability that you're going to find an idea or a connection or a resource that will be the thing that can change your life. But you have to get out in the world, get into the game, meet people, play, experiment. The more things you try, the more likely something will work. Now, let's talk about this breakthrough goal one more time. Wesley Clark. General Wesley Clark, he was the head of NATO. He ran for the presidential nomination for the Democratic Party. I met him at a party, and he said to me, we were talking about my book, and he said, you know, one thing I've learned in my life, it doesn't take any more time to dream a big dream than it takes to dream a small dream. It doesn't take any more time to have a big idea than it is to have a small idea. Dave Liniger, the president and CEO, founder of RE/MAX International, real estate company that has literally, you know, rocked the world. I think he has over 9,000 salespeople now selling real estate for RE/MAX. He said to me, small dreams attract small people. Big dreams attract big people. So he had a big dream to totally recreate the way real estate's done, and he attracted a lot of people that wanted to make that dream come true. Chad Pograki, the age of 19, decides he wants to clean up the entire length of the Mississippi River. Well, he's 19 years old, never went to college, working class kid, living beside the river. He's watching all this trash flow down the river, oil drums, styrofoam boxes that people have used to cool their beer in, all these coolers and things, you know, boxes, even refrigerators went floating by. Well, he said he decided as far as he could see, he would clean up the river. Well, after a couple of days of being out there, he realized there were things he couldn't pick up. Someone had driven a car into the river. So he said, we need a barge. We need a crane. So he said, where do we get that? Well, he decided that the only people that had money that he knew would be corporations. So he went over, got in the phone book, looked up corporations because he didn't know any people who were, you know, important in corporations. And the first one was Alcoa. So he called him up. I'd like to get some money to clean up the Mississippi River. And they gave it to him. And he called Anheuser-Busch. That was the next on the list. Called the CEO and said, hi, can I, you know, get some money to clean up the river? Secretary in the CEO's office answered. She said, do you have a proposal? He said, what's a proposal? She said, well, I'll tell you how to write one. Everyone he asked, because of the purity of his intention, that it was nothing other than service involved, allowed him to get yeses. Eventually, he owned three barges, one of which he now lives on. He enrolled 4,000 volunteers to help him clean up the river. It's $2.5 million. He now has a board of directors that reads like the who's who of American business. He's won the Jefferson Award, which is the equivalent of the American Nobel Prize. And he's 20, I think 4 or 5 now. I met him because he was getting an honorary doctorate at St. University the same time I was. The point being, these people had big dreams, big goals, and they attracted a lot of people to help them make them come true. So don't think small. Let yourself really think big. And the next step is you have to believe it's possible. Most people think success is possible for someone else. Well, I'll tell you, I grew up in West Virginia. I graduated from the half of the class that made the top half possible. West Virginia at that time had the 48th worst educational system in America. My family was more than dysfunctional. My dad was a raging alcoholic. My stepfather that came after was a workaholic and drank a lot. My mother was an alcoholic and kind of hated men because her father had died when she was 18. And also, you know, two men had divorced her. So she was not real happy. And the reality was that I grew up in that family, which, you know, didn't have any of the kind of principles that I'm teaching you. And if I can become successful, you can become successful. If you don't believe you can, you're going to stop yourself. I have a story in the book about a woman named Laura Schultz. Laura Schultz, at 65, did something she didn't think was possible. Her car began to slip back from the driveway because one of the kids had jumped in it and released the emergency brake, and it ran over her grandson's leg and it got stuck there. And she went out and literally lifted up the car so that he could get his leg out. And what happened was the people heard about it and they wanted to interview about it. She wouldn't grant any interviews. And so what happened was one of my friends, who's a peak performer himself, would not give up without an interview. And when he called her about the sixth time, he said, why won't you give it? And she said, you know why? I'll tell you. When you're my age and you do something you didn't think you could do, you have to ask yourself a very difficult question. What else in my life could I have done that if I believed I could do it, I would have done? And at my age, you go, did you waste your whole life? Had I wasted my whole life? And so she didn't want to confront that feeling, so she didn't like to talk about it. Well, my friend Charlie Garfield said, look, here's the deal. What is it you would have liked to have done? She said, well, I wanted to become a geologist. Well, why didn't you? Well, my father said only the boys could go to college because we didn't have enough money for everybody. And back then, the men were the ones going out making the living. And so I never went to go to college. He said, well, do you have? She said, yeah. He said, why don't you mortgage it and take a little money out of it and go back to school? She said, Sonny, I'm 65 years old. I'd be 69 when I graduated. He said, I got some bad news for you. 4 years from now, you're going to be 69, whether you go back to school or not. So why not go back to school and get to 69 and have your degree? Well, she did. And as a result of that, she became an instructor at a local community college and still teaches geology to this day. But you don't want to waste a whole lot of your life because you didn't believe you could do something. Anything anyone else can do, you can do. When Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile, nobody thought that was possible. In the next year, 11 people broke it. We had a race recently, all college students, every one of them ran a less than 4-minute mile. But it was that first experience of someone doing it that made everyone else go, it is possible, and therefore it broke that mental barrier. Now, the next thing you want to do is to chunk your goals down into little steps that you can take. And what I ask you to start with is, what are three next steps I could take? If you want to be wealthier, start saving 10% of everything you earn. Start reading some books about no money down real estate investment. Read books on how to, make more money. Read books on the stock market. In other words, get involved and do at least three next steps that you could do. Maybe the next step is simply calling up an accountant and saying, can I meet with you so we can do a little financial planning? Maybe the next step is simply calculating your net worth. Most people in America are what we call financially illiterate, which means they don't know what their net worth is. They don't understand the power of compound interest. They don't understand that if they were to incorporate themselves, they could have a whole bunch of tax advantages that all businesses have. If you get involved in a multi-level or a network marketing company, doesn't matter what it is, you now are an independent business person. There are all kind of tax breaks that you can take advantage of. You have to learn about these things. So simply reaching out, taking a next step. Now, often people say, well, I don't know what the next step I should take is to achieve the goal I want. Maybe I want to open a spa, or I'd like to open a restaurant, or I'd like to have my own hair salon, whatever it might be. Here's the deal. Go ask somebody who's already achieved what you want to achieve. They know how they got there. Most people say, well, why would my competition in the future want to tell me anything about what they did? Well, number one, most people really like to talk about how they became successful. My dad was a genius at going up to the top salesman in his company and saying, can I take you out to dinner? This is when he first started with National Cash Register, NCR. And he would take him out to dinner, buy him a few drinks. He'd say, how'd you get into this business? How'd you make it all the way up to vice president? How'd you become regional sales manager? How'd you do this? And they would always tell him. And he would come back and write all that stuff down. He'd start putting it into practice. And my dad became eventually president of Brazil National Cash Register. Now, he wasn't a great dad, but an incredible, incredible businessman. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. You don't have to know. Find somebody who's already done it. And as one of my friends says, success leaves clues. Some people have written books about it. Some people have written manuals about it. They have seminars like I do about it. It doesn't matter how you get the information. It's out there. And once you've got it, it's simply a connect the dots game. You simply have to start putting everything into practice. Now, why do most people not connect the dots? In other words, they go out there, they learn what they need to learn. And let me just say one more thing before I say that. I was talking to Ken Blanchard just a couple of days ago, and he's the guy that wrote The 1 Minute Manager and sold tens of millions of books, New York Times bestseller. I believe his company does about $300 million a year, Blanchard Training Associates, an amazing being. And he said to me something I thought that was really important. He said, you know, Jack, you can drive in the night from San Diego all the way up to San Francisco, and you'll never be able to see more than a couple hundred yards ahead of you, which is how far your lights extend. You can't see 1,000 yards. You can't see a mile ahead. You don't need to. You just need to see a couple hundred yards ahead and keep on that path. Well, life is kind of like that. You don't have to know every single step you're going to have to take along the way to reach your goal. You simply need the next few steps. And as you take those, the steps after that will appear. They will declare themselves out of your experience and being in the game. Now, your brain acts like a GPS system. It is like the GPS system in your car. I have one. And what I do, I sit in my car and I turn on the car and I turn on my GPS system and I just type in my destination. So let's say I'm in Santa Barbara and I'm going down to Los Angeles and I want to go to UCLA. I can just type in UCLA, or I could type in the address of UCLA, and it just goes boop, and a little map shows up on my screen. And all I have to do is follow that map. I don't have to figure it out. The map's already done it. Now, if I go off the track, I love my GPS system. It says, you have just left the designated route, make an immediate U-turn, and return to the 101 South. It never yells at me. It never calls me stupid. And you have a part of your brain that will do the same thing. It's called your unconscious subconscious mind, which represents 5/6 of your brain power. Only 1/6 is what we call our rational conscious mind. And this mind of yours, if you will program it, put in the destination you want, it will figure out for you the route you need to take. But here's a critical thing I learned just this year. A study was done at NASA where they took astronauts and they made them wear concave lens goggles. They had to wear these for 30 days, 24 hours a day, while they were in bed, while they took showers, while they ate, while they made love. Whatever they were doing, they were not allowed to take them off. And these concave lenses made the world appear upside down. Now, why is that important? When the world appears upside down, they were trying to find out, would it disorient them like being in outer space would disorient them? Would it make them lose their appetite? Would it make them angry? Would it make them irritable? Would they lose sleep? Would they lose their ability to concentrate? What they found that they had not predicted was that 25 to 30 days into the experiment, somewhere in that five-day period, every one of the astronauts' brains flipped the image right side up again. They were getting an upside-down signal through their eye, their ocular nerves, and the brain had created new neural pathways to flip that image upside down so it would be more useful to negotiate in the world. This is a radical discovery that neuroscientists are now saying changes all that we know, or not all that we know, but all of our assumptions about the brain, in the sense that we can create a new self-image, a new concept, a new set of beliefs, new skill sets within 30 days. But here's the kicker. You must do it for 30 days in a row. They found, they did some astronauts where they had them take the goggles off 15 days into it. This was a subsequent later experiment. Take them off for one day, put them back on again. Thinking that, you know, 15 days later that they would flip it up again, upside down again. But it didn't work. They had to go 30 more days. So literally, one of the reasons that most of these techniques that people use in terms of changing habits, building in new disciplines, their New Year's resolutions, using affirmations and visualization, all these things, the reason they often don't work for people and then people give up on them is that they've not done them for 30 in a row. So I've coined what I call the 30-day law. You must do these new behaviors for a minimum of 30 days. I recommend 3 months. And then what happens is they get locked into the unconscious and they become part of you, the natural way you think about things. So you can overcome your limiting beliefs about money, your limiting beliefs about health, about longevity, how long you're going to live, how much money you can make. All of those things are malleable and can be changed by changing your thinking. But this 30-day discipline is part of the process that you have to do. Give you an example out of my own life. I set a goal to make $100,000 back in 1976 when I was only making $10,000 a year. And I didn't know how I was going to do it. Hadn't got a clue. But what happened was I started using the principles that I was taught by my mentor, W. Clement Stone, to visualize my goals as if they were already achieved every day, to affirm that they were achieved. And I had an affirmation which said, God is my infinite supply, and large sums of money come to me quickly and easily under the grace of God for the highest good of all concerned, as I easily and effortlessly earn, invest, and spend $100,000 a year. I would say that every day, visualize my dream has come true. I would look up on my ceiling where I had a $100,000 bill. I would visualize that, then go take a shower. Nothing happened for about 35 days, right along that 30-day principle. I'm sitting in the shower, actually standing in the shower, taking my shower in the morning, and all of a sudden I had the first $100,000 idea of my life. I said, if I could sell 400,000 copies of my book, 100 Ways to Enhance Self-Concept in the Classroom, I would get $100,000 because I got 25 cents every time one of those books was sold. That was my commission, my royalty. Well, I didn't know how to do that. I'd never done it. The book had been out 2 years, and there I was, you know, with making, you know, about $2,000 a year on that royalty. But I now had a leverageable idea. The next thing I did was visualize that sale. So I saw, you know, a headline, Jack Canfield sells 100,000 copy of 100 Ways to Enhance Self-Concept in the Classroom. So what happens is, about a month later, I get another idea. You know, I should start my own bookstore. Why wait and have the publisher sell the book in the bookstore? I get a quarter. I could become a mail order bookstore, buy the books at half price, which is about $3, sell them for $6. I make $3 a book. Now I've only got to sell 33,000 copies. Much more doable. Then I started taking ads out in parenting magazines and newsletters. I started getting orders. And then we saw another opportunity, which was, why not sell other people's books and tapes and things about, like, self-esteem through the mail. So we ended up with a 8-page catalog with 32 products, and we started sending that out, and pretty soon we were getting orders where Dell usually had to hire a couple of high school kids to come in after work and help us. That year, we made $92,328 from that little venture. Now, did I reach my $100,000 goal? Not through the way I thought I would do it. I didn't make more money teaching, but when you add my $10,000 or my $8,000 teaching fee with my $92,000 income, there I was, $100,000. So you never know necessarily how it's going to unfold. You don't have to know. You simply have to start the process of writing the goal down, believing you can have it, seeing it. And here's what you want to do. Every day, close your eyes. If you have relaxing music, you can put that on, or you can do it in stillness. If you meditate, do it at the end of your meditation. If not, just close your eyes, take a few deep breaths, get relaxed, and then see all of your 21 goals as completed. Now, I write mine on 3x5 cards, and I just shuffle through them one at a time, look at the goal, close my eyes, visualize what it'll look like, feel the feelings I'd feel, hear the sounds I would hear. Now, the feelings are critical. They're the, you know, what you call the fuel, the emotional fuel that fuels the mental part of the affirmation and creates enthusiasm and passion and actually does some other things in the brain I won't go into, but it actually changes the brain chemistry, which thickens the neurons that make this become, in your mind, an inevitable result. So what happens is, close your eyes, do the visualization, then go to the next card. Close your eyes, do the visualization. Just keep going through your cards so you get through all 21. I recommend you do it in the morning right after you get up and also right at night right before you go to bed. So you're programming your unconscious twice a day. It's keeping you focused. Now, the other thing this does, in addition to getting creative ideas like I did, you're also programming a part of your brain called the reticular system. It's kind of like the spam filter in a computer. If you have a spam filter, it filters out certain emails that you don't want to get. Well, your brain is always filtering out most of what's coming into it. For example, right now, until I tell you this, you're not aware of what you're feeling in your right foot. But as soon as I say right foot, you're aware of it. Now you're not aware of what you're feeling in your left hand. But as soon as I say left hand, you're aware of it. Why weren't you aware? All that was streaming through your nerves into your brain, but your reticular system was filtering it out. Because if you took in everything, you'd be overwhelmed. Well, how does it know what to filter out? It filters out everything that does not match your current self-image or match the goals that you say you want to achieve. In other words, there are resources out there you don't see. There's creative ideas, partnerships you don't see. And there's all kind of ideas that people are talking about. You don't even hear them at a cocktail party. But we've all had the experience of being at a cocktail party and someone mentions our name and we just instantly focus in on that person because our name is one of those things that always gets through that filter. So we're going to reprogram that filter to let in those things that will help you achieve your goal. And we do that by the visualization, the reviewing of the goals, writing them down, reading them every day, that discipline. The third thing that happens when you visualize and focus on your goals, I'm sure every one of you listening to this has used an email. Many of you send out wireless emails with Blackberries and Palm Pilots and things like that. Many of you have used wireless telephones. Well, think about it. Information is being transmitted through the air without wires. And here's what we now know, radical new insight. Your brain is sending out brain waves just like radio signals, and we know that the minimum amount they can travel is 250,000 miles. We've actually done experiments with astronauts on the moon thinking certain thoughts and having those picked up by researchers back at Duke University in the parapsychology lab, getting a very high accuracy about what those thoughts are. So we know that without any kind of amplification system, we are sending out thoughts. Now, that means it's like you're sending out a million emails every time you think a thought. And other people are responding to those emails. We would call it luck. I would call it intentional, sucking people into your dream by focusing on what you want. Let me give you an example. Mark and I set a goal one day to sell 1 million copies of Chicken Soup for the Soul books in one day. One day, 1 million books sold. Now, that had not happened. It has happened since. Harry Potter's done it. But up until then, no one had done it. And we didn't know how to do it. We just said, we're going to set the goal, start doing the principles, and the how will show up. Well, less than a month later, about 3 weeks later, we're in Chicago at the American Booksellers Association convention again, different one. And I get down on the bus after the convention's over to go back to my hotel room. And a woman sits down next to me and she says, "You're Jack Canfield, the Chicken Soup guy." "Yeah, I am." She said, "What are you guys up to now?" I said, "Well, we just came up with a new goal. We decided we're going to sell 1 million books in one day." She said, without missing a beat, she said, "I can help you do that." I said, "Really? How's that?" She said, "I'm the head buyer for W.H. Smith Bookstores. That's the bookstores in all the airports." She said, "If we put all of you and your co-authors and some of your contributors in all the airports on the East Coast and did a big signing, let's say from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the morning, all the travelers coming through, all the people that have the money and are interested in personal growth and all that, we could sell a lot of books. Then we'll put you on a plane. We'll fly you over to maybe Cleveland, Detroit, St. Louis, you know, those kind of places, New Orleans, etc., and we'll do it again there. Then we'll put you on planes and we'll fly you. We'll just kind of chase the sun across the country. We'll end up in San Francisco, Seattle, Portland, San Diego, etc., and let you guys sign books, you know, at the 5 o'clock time when everyone's coming back from their business meetings." We said, "Great." Well, I said, why would you want to do that? And she said, dummy, if I sell 1 million books in one day, don't you think that'd make me look pretty good to my bosses? I said, absolutely, yes, it would. She said, all we need to do is find a hotel partner, an airline partner, and, you know, we'll do the publicity ourselves. We'll ramp it up for a week before. And, you know, what I'm trying to tell you is this. That might have looked like luck, but I don't believe it. I believe that we are constantly pulling people into our life, and there's a lot of research now on quantum physics and brain science that would indicate that that is, in fact, the case. Now, one of the things you probably don't know is that 90% of your behavior is habitual. That means that 90% of what you do the same way every time. Put on your clothes the same way. You wear 20% of your clothes 80% of the time. You go out to the same four or five restaurants, even though it might be 500 in the town you live in. Order the same two or three things off the menu. Why is that? Because we're habitual by nature. But here's the problem. The habits you currently have are only enough to get you what you're currently getting. So you're going to have to change your behavior, change your thinking, change the images you hold in your head, and change the things you do. Let's talk about some of the things that you need to change. Number one, change your thinking in the following way. Stop looking at negative news at night. Stop watching the news altogether if you can. Start reading uplifting biographies. Uplifting books like the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, self-help books, books on real estate, money, finances, management, leadership, parenting, being a better relationship for your spouse, you know, books on health and longevity. I recommend you read one book a week, putting constant new positive information into your unconscious mind. Another technique, drop out of the Ain't It Awful Club. Make a list of all the people in your life. Put a plus or minus next to each name. Plus if they're a positive, generative, goal-seeking, encouraging person, and a minus if they're a negative whiner, blamer, and complainer. And then stop spending time with the people with minus signs next to their name. If everyone has a minus sign next to their name, you need a friend. My friend Jim Rohn says you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with, which means that you have to get some new friends if you've got all negative people that are sitting around bitching and moaning, watching TV, drinking beer, never doing anything productive with their life. You might need to join a new church. You might need to join some clubs, join a professional association, go back to school where people that are upwardly mobile are attempting to get an education. You might want to join an investment club. You might want to, you know, whatever it is, start hanging out with people who are already doing what you want to do. You want to be more fit? Join a gym. Hang out with people who are doing that. You want to be more spiritual? Start going to churches and meditation groups, yoga classes, whatever it is. Now, why is that so important? We know that we tell our kids all the time, I want you to stop hanging out with those people. Why? Because we know negative people have a negative influence on our children. The same thing is true with you as adults. Okay, another thing. Once you started to do the visualizations and the affirmations and you've written your goals, and I'd encourage you to get pictures to represent each one of your goals. You know, cut things out of magazines, paste them into a book or paste them on a poster board and put them where you'll see them every day. Put them on your refrigerator. Once you've done these things and you're doing the affirmations and visualization and the meditation, you're going to start about 30 days into it, as we said, getting creative ideas. You're going to have what I call inspired action thoughts, impulses to action. You must act on them. Don't let fear stop you. If you get an inspired idea, I mean, how many of you have had ideas where all of a sudden, you know, you say, I could do this, and then you don't do it. And then 3 months later, someone else did it and captured that market or got the girl you wanted or got the promotion at work you got it or whatever it might be. Don't not act. In other words, that's a double negative. Forget that. But act on your impulse and your inspiration. You got to start trusting the inner voice that comes up in you. I can tell you, people that have just acted on things like they woke up at 3 in the morning and they heard a voice that said, drive to Kingman, Arizona. They said, why would I drive to Kingman, Arizona? Well, the voice said, you've been wanting to buy Four Corner investment property. There's going to be a property available in Kingman, Arizona. And this friend of mine said, well, how do I know that? I just called the real estate agents at 5 o'clock and they told me nothing was available. Voice said, go to Kingman, Arizona. So he got in his car, drove to Kingman, Arizona, got there around 8 o'clock in the morning, went to the Howard Johnson's there, got a newspaper, sat down to have some breakfast, started looking at the real estate ads, and sure enough, there was a Four Corner property for sale. And so what he did is he went over to the real estate agent and he put a deposit down on it and he owned it by 9 o'clock. Now, why wasn't it listed? Because this guy called the newspapers after 6 o'clock and got it is a late entry into it because some guy called from New York about 5:30 said I want to put that property for sale and therefore wasn't listed that day and but it got in the paper the next day. So always learn to trust your intuition, trust your actions. Now, taking action is critical. A lot of us know a lot of this stuff, but we're not doing it. One of the techniques I do in my seminar is I will hold up a $100 bill, and I'll say, who would like this $100 bill? And everyone raises their hand. They're all screaming, I want it, I want it, I want it. And I don't move. I just keep holding it there. And after about a minute or two, somebody gets up, sometimes timidly, sometimes they start to get it, and two or three people will be running toward the front of the room competing with each other, and they'll come up and they'll jump up in the air and pull the $100 bill out of my hand. Now, if you're on this call, you've just heard, if you're ever in one of my seminars, and I do that, you've got an advantage over everyone else in the room. And if you're sit up front, you move quickly, you got $100. But the point is, I tell people, what kept you sitting in your chair? How many of you thought, maybe I should get up out of the chair? And most people raise their hand. Well, what stopped you? Well, I didn't think you meant it. I didn't want to look that eager to get $100. I didn't want to look like a bab. I thought you might not really give it to me. I'd look like I didn't know what the experiment was. What if it was something different? And all these little beliefs and self-talk that you're doing are the exact same thing that stop you in your regular life. So you've got to take action. And one of the things that stops us is fear. Well, there's a book written by a friend of mine, Susan Jeffers, called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. So don't let fear stop you. Now, another thing you've got to do, well, let's talk about one more fear first. Fear of rejection. Most of us are so afraid we're going to get rejected, that's why we don't act. Well, think about this. If I ask you out to have dinner with me tonight and you say no, everyone goes, ooh, Jack got rejected. It's not true. Think about it. Did I have anyone to eat dinner with before I asked you? No. Did I have anyone to eat dinner with after I asked you? No. Did my life really get worse? No, it stayed the same. If you apply to Harvard and get in, you weren't in Harvard before you applied. You're not in Harvard after you applied. Your life did not get worse. And most of you spent your whole life not going to Harvard, so you know how to handle that. So what my mentor, W. Clement Stone, taught me is if there's anything to gain and nothing to lose, and there's rarely really anything to lose other than your thought about it, try it. Go for it. He asked the railroads if he could buy the air rights 60 feet and above over the railroads in Illinois. And they sold them to him for hardly anything because they didn't have any need for the air above the railroad. Well, if you ever take a train into Chicago, you're going to go right under about 5 or 6 buildings. Who owned the air rights to those buildings? W. Clement Stone. He was getting lease money for the companies that built those buildings because he asked. So if there's, never be afraid to ask. And as Mark and I teach, we wrote a book called The Aladdin Factor. Ask, 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 ask. We had to ask 144 publishers to publish our book. A guy over in England named John Creasy got 756 rejections before he wrote his first book. He got it, got his first book published. And yet he went on to write over 200 books under 26 different pseudonyms and became one of the most well-published authors in the history of the world. So, again, don't be afraid to ask. Now, another technique that we talked about, and I just want to mention it again, is invest 10% of everything you earn. If you started when you were 25 and did that until you were 65, you'd be an automatic millionaire based on what Albert Einstein called the eighth wonder of the world, which is compound interest. Mark and I just had a meeting with a guy named David Bach, who wrote the book, The Automatic Millionaire, wrote another book called Start Late, Finish Rich, because the fact is, you can even start in your 50s and still end up a millionaire if you accelerate the process, and he teaches you to do that in the book, and I teach that in my seminars now. But the idea being that it's these automatic disciplines around money, exercise, drinking enough water, getting enough sleep. If you were to write 5 pages a day, or even 1 page a day, in a year you'd have a 365-page book. Everyone says they don't have enough time. Well, I teach something called the hour of power. Think about this. Most people are watching 3 to 6 hours of television a day. If you watch that much TV, guess what happens? In 1 year, you will have spent the equivalent of 3 months with no sleep watching television. That's incredible. 15 years out of a 60-year life would represent the 6-hour average a day television watching. Even if you only watch a couple, look at the power of changing one habit. If you cut out 1 hour of television a day, and you invest that to do something useful, that's 365 days or 365 hours in 1 year. Divide that by a 40-hour work week. That's 9.5 additional weeks of productive time. That's 2.5 months of productive time. What I ask you to do with that hour of power is pretty much what my first mentor, Dr. Clement Stone, asked me to do. He asked me to read for an hour a day, because he said if you read a book a week, you'll have read 520 books in 10 years. That'll chop 1% of your profession. But I've modified that based on 30 years of experience, and I call the hour of power this. Everyone says, I don't have time to exercise. I don't have time to meditate. I don't have time to do my affirmations and visualization. I don't have time to read. But if you cut out that 1 hour of TV or any other useless behavior, like playing video games or surfing the net for 7 hours a night or whatever, and put 1 hour into the following way, 20 minutes of reading. We're talking about self-help books and, you know, books on real estate and management and spiritual books, biographies and autobiographies of famous people that will inspire you and teach you principles. If you will do that for 20 minutes, if you'll exercise for 20 minutes, and then meditate and visualize for 20 minutes, 1 hour a day, every day, 7 days a week, you'll be healthier, you'll be wealthier, you'll be wiser, you'll be calmer, and you'll be well on your way to all the creativity and the, you know, making this internet thing I talked about earlier, sending out those emails through your consciousness. All of that stuff will now be into play with 1 hour of three simple disciplines that'll give you more energy, more relaxation, more income, and more information to do all the things that you want to do in life. Let me just talk about a couple more concepts here. One is, once you start taking action, you're going to get feedback. Sometimes the feedback's positive, you make money, people like you, you get invited to parties, you lose weight. Sometimes the feedback's negative, people that have tried diets and gained weight, people that have started businesses and it didn't work, people that, tried techniques in terms of relationships and alienated instead of made them like them. So you have to pay attention to that feedback, not be defensive about it, and in fact, solicit the feedback, shut up and listen. But here's a very valuable question I learned. It really changed my life when I did it. I use this in my seminars. I use this with my wife and kids. I use this in my consulting relationships with my books. Write down the following question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the quality of, and then you fill in the blank, our relationship this past week, me as a dad, this consulting, this one-hour radio show we're doing right now, this teleconference call, rather. I've done a lot of radio shows today. Now we're doing a teleconference call. But anyway, how would you rate that? How would you rate the quality of our consulting, the quality of my product, the quality of our service, the quality of me as a husband, whatever it is? Anything less than a 10 gets a follow-up question. Here's the follow-up question. What would it take to make it a 10? Now, if you get a 6 and they say to make it a 10, I just give you an example out of my own marriage. A couple months ago, I asked my wife, how would you rate our relationship this past week? She said 6. I said, really? What would it take to make it a 10? She said, first thing, don't interrupt me when I'm telling a joke because you think you can tell the punchline better. Number 2, she said, it's your job to put our children to bed. She said, your job is to put them to bed. My job is to get them up in the morning, get them to school. And I don't care if the NCAA playoffs are going on or the Final Four or whatever. I want you to put them to bed without being asked. Number 3, if you're going to be late from work, call me. Ask me if I need anything. Let me know you're going to be late so I don't worry about you. And so these were not easy things to hear, but in the fact that I heard them and I was willing to respond to them, I increased the quality of my relationship with my wife. Normally I get 9s and 10s. I do it with my kids. I do it with my staff. So this is a very powerful tool, and it relates to another principle called constant and never-ending improvement. How can I improve the quality of my seminars, the quality of my relationships, the quality of products, our chicken soup books, the quality of everything I do? I want to be committed to always taking it up a notch. And if I'm committed to that, I have to ask for feedback. I have to be open to the feedback, and then I have to implement the feedback. Always wanting to give more service, greater value, and serve my clients better. And if you do that, you get lifelong customers, lifelong people that are raving fans. Always exceed expectations. Promise less and deliver more. One of my friends, David Morris, started a company where he's roasting coffee up in Seattle, and he was delivering it through UPS to a company down in Long Beach where they had about 7 stores called It's a Grind. And coffee stores where they're doing, like Starbucks, that kind of thing. The chain was It's a Grind. And when the UPS strike happened a number of years ago, he was afraid that if he shipped it by mail, his best customer wasn't going to get their coffee. So he literally drove 1,125 miles three times over the course of 2 or 3 weeks and delivered the coffee and then drove back, picked up more, came down again, delivered it back. Now, he's the president of his company, but he was not willing to have this guy whose livelihood depended on it not get his coffee on time. That chain has now grown to almost 100 stores nationwide, and it's his number one customer. He's gone from making less than $1 million a year to doing 10 or 20 million a year in the coffee business because he exceeds expectations every time. So just a couple more quick things. Clean up all your matter what you're doing. If you have a life full of incompletions, relationships where you need to communicate resentments or appreciations, people are mad at you or not talking to you. If you've got messes all around your home, your garage is a mess, your car is a mess, every drawer you open is a mess, your closet's a mess, your desk's a mess. Every time you look at that, it takes psychic energy from you. You want to have everything in a pristine condition. How do you do that? Well, you can hire people to help you. You can dedicate a weekend to just cleaning up and cleaning out. And all of a sudden, you're going to be more effective. I have a form that I teach in my workshops that has 21 areas of your life where you can clean up stuff. You know, finances, financial records, you know, all kinds of filing systems that don't work, you know, on and on and on. And when you get those things organized and clean, it frees up your attention units to be focused 100% on the things that really matter and make a difference. And so that's a critical thing. And as I said before, develop 4 new habits a year. 4 new habits a year in 20 years will give you 80 new habits. That's enough to make you a mega success. And so you want to have new financial habits, new physical habits, new relational habits, etc., new business habits. And, you know, in my book, I've got 64 principles. In my seminars, I teach even more that you can apply to your life to create new disciplines of success. Now, we've been talking about things you can apply on your own, and you can. However, there's research now. A guy named John Hagelin he's a Harvard-trained PhD. He's well-respected in his field, and he's also a meditator. And he began to realize that when they would get groups of people to meditate together, the crime rate would go down. And the more people they had in the group, they did one where they had up to 600 people. Every time they added 100 people, they had 100 people 1 week, 200 people the next week, 300 people the next week, just meditating 6 to 8 hours a day, the crime rate would go down and down and down and down. They did this in Washington, D.C. They got 8,000 people to come to India and meditate for a month. All the crime rates in the world started to go down. The number of wars went down. More peace treaties were signed. The number of people wounded. The number of bombs that were dropped. Everything decreased. As soon as they stopped, it rose up to its levels again. So we now have a theory that's evolving that the force field that's created by a group of people having a common intention is the square of the number of people that are holding that similar intention. So if it's just you alone, the force field is 1. If there's 2, you and your wife, the force field is 4. So it's the square. If there's 100 of us that gather together for a workshop, the force field is 10,000, 100 times 100. Now think about that. That really tells us why it's so valuable to get together with people to work on things together. So every year I do a week-long workshop where we gather anywhere from 300 to 400 people together. I do probably 90% of the seminar. But some of the people I bring in, one of the guys is named Hale Dwoskin. Hale Dwoskin teaches a revolutionary new method for getting rid of the negative beliefs and the negative energies and emotions that block our success. Literally, he claims you can release your way to success. The more you release these negative emotions, the more you really attract to you. We had a woman in the seminar last year who came in on a motorized wheelchair. She had this kind of cerebral palsy type disease, and she couldn't move that well, couldn't stand up very well under her own weight, and so she was in this wheelchair. And by the end of the seminar, using these techniques that Hale taught and that I taught, she was up on stage dancing. I mean, I have a DVD of that just is one of the most treasured possessions that I own. There was a guy in the seminar, he'd had a migraine headache for the last 7 years. It went away in one day and hasn't come back a year later. This technique is so powerful that literally I was supposed to go to a party with Deepak Chopra and Mark Victor Hansen and Brian Tracy and all these people down in San Diego. Hale was there. The day before, I got the worst cold I ever had in my life. Rarely if ever get sick. I'm serious. Rarely ever sick. But I was just dripping. And I watched my wife and my president of my company drive off in a limo to go down to San Diego, and I wasn't in it. Well, that night, I got a cell phone call. I was sitting at my desk feeling sorry for myself, trying to get a little work done since everyone else was gone. And it was Hale on the cell phone. He said, "I hear you've got a cold." I said, "Yeah." He said, "You want to release it?" I said, "Release my cold?" He said, "Yeah, we can dry up your dripping in about 3 minutes." I said, "You're kidding me." He said, "No." So I went through the Sedona method, and in 3 minutes, I swear to God, my nose dried up, the pain went away in my body, and I felt like 100% different. That's how powerful this technique is. I taught it to someone in Liverpool, England, just a couple of weeks ago at a conference at dinner, and the next day they had a major release that changed the relationship that had been fractionated for 15 years, a professional relationship. They healed it. Simply with a 30-minute conversation, she said it never would have been possible if you hadn't done that 5-minute process with me at dinner. Wouldn't it make sense to know a technique that can release any negative emotion in 5 minutes or less? I also teach something called the 5-minute phobia cure. We can get rid of any fear, any anxiety, any phobia, and any anxiety-related habit like smoking, overeating, drinking in 5 minutes or less, 9.4% of the time. It's a technique I learned from a psychologist named Roger Callahan. It takes less than 5 minutes to do. We teach it to everyone en masse in the seminar. You never have to be afraid again. We had a real estate person in one of my seminars who had never been on the second floor of a house she sold because she was a phobic about walking up staircases. We got her up on front of the stage. We did the 5-minute phobia cure with her. I took the entire group out. We walked her up and down stairs in the hotel, and it was amazing to watch. She's never been afraid since. Doesn't it make sense if you could accelerate your life learning techniques that are that powerful that you'd want to avail yourself of them? Think about it. We never got taught this stuff in universities. Very little usefulness in high school other than learning to read and write and maybe develop some social skills. I mean, when's the last time you used the 5 causes of the Civil War and the 3 exports of Brazil in your life? I never did. So we never learned these important things. Jana Stanfield, a real phenomenon, a songwriter, has had songs recorded by Reba McEntire and other country hits, and she is a performer as well, and she opens every session and closes every session with a song that's related to the topic and that just really brings the group together, brings the heart energy into the room. The quality of unconditional love that you'll experience from these people, as well as their incredible information that they're going to share with us, is it really just is amazing what goes on there. So think about this. If you could come and learn things like how to make your brain 30 to 50% more efficient in just minutes with one technique, how to overcome the deeply ingrained societal myths about money, which are all wrong, that we've learned about how to make money. I can teach you really how to make money by working less and smarter. I just worked with a kid in a seminar that Mark and I put on along with Bob Allen last weekend. 26 years old, he's making $1 million a month on eBay, and all he's doing is selling pool table. One product, $1 million a month. Now, if that's possible for a 26-year-old kid, think what you could do if you were working smarter instead of harder. I'll teach you how to conquer procrastination and fear and rejection. I'll teach you how to get out of your comfort zone, how to get rid of old habits that are no longer serving you. I can teach you so many things. How to get rid of the beliefs that are stopping you. One of my graduates from last summer is a guy named Scott Schilling, lives down in Dallas, Texas. And with one technique that we did that took 45 minutes, the whole group went through it together, he was able to unearth a limiting belief that was keeping him from having more success. As a result of that, he went back and in 2 months made what he normally makes in a year. And 5 months later, he calls me and says, "Jack, I just got a contract for $750,000 working 3 days a week as all to teach sales techniques and training to an international corporation." Now, he said that would have been impossible without your seminar. I'm going to teach you the difference between setting goals and getting your goals. There's some simple little techniques that will just take that to a whole new level. How to function at peak performance. How to let go of thinking you need to increase your willpower and actually show you how to have less willpower, but to use the power of your subconscious mind. I'll teach you how to tap into your intuition, how to create affirmations that really work, how to use a three-part entrepreneurial time system that divides your days into free days, focus days, and buffer days that will allow you to get much more productivity out of your life while doubling the amount of time off. I promise people that if you come to the seminar, you'll double your income and double the amount of time off you'll have in 3 years or less. Most people do it in 1 year. Some people triple and quadruple their income in that time. We had people last summer that brought their whole families, 5 and 6 people. One guy brought his whole company, 12 employees. They went back and really rocked. So I know that you can do this for yourself. Don't let the money stop you. Don't let the time stop you. You're going to double your income. You're going to have more time, not less. The value is there. Rearrange your schedule. Do whatever you have to do to be there. We had one teacher who couldn't afford to come. She wanted these techniques to teach to her kids. What does she do? She goes and gets a bunch of other teachers to help put up some of the money and promise for her to come back and teach them everything she learned. I had a friend who was doing conference calls, $500 for an hour. This one kid wanted to be on that call, couldn't afford it to hire him, you know, for this call. He said, look, can I divide mine up and get 10 other people to each chip in $50? The guy said, sure. He actually got $20, raised $1,000, paid the guy his $500 fee, kept $500 for himself. There's all kind of creative ways to make sure that you get what you want in life. Don't let any of these things stop you. So get in the game. Your life can be magical, just like mine is. I make multi-million dollars in the southern coast of California, overlooking the ocean. I grew up in West Virginia where life wasn't like that, I can tell you. But you have to do the doing this. So come join us. Be at our seminar. Transform your life. Be with people that are committed to transforming their life. Create mastermind groups. Make friends that you'll have for life. Business ventures come out of it. It'll be the most magical 7 days of your life. So if you'd like your life to change forever, you know, listen now. I'm going to turn this call over to Bill. He'll tell you how to enroll in the seminar. Thank you for listening. It's been my pleasure to talk to you. I want every one of you to live your highest vision in a context of love and joy so that everything you want comes true and you can have a magical life, just like Jiminy Cricket sang about in those old Walt Disney things. When you wish upon a star, you can have a dream come true. Well, let's stop wishing and let's start making it happen. Bill?
Jack, thank you so much. You know, we've gotten to know each other quite well over the last 9 years, and I have to say that it's always enlightening to hear you speak. You always manage to totally grab me and inspire me, and I always learn something new that affects me in a fundamental and positive way. Sometimes when Jack or I talk about making huge incomes or enjoying lots of success in other areas of life, some people have trouble making the mental leap from where they are now to where Jack and I believe you can be. So I want to emphasize that you don't have to want to be super rich, super famous, or super successful to attend this event. Although it's great to have financial abundance, success is much more than money. It's about having peace of mind, doing what you love, making a difference, sharing your blessings with others, being challenged and excited by what you do, and making a good living doing it. Another misconception many people have is that successful people know what to do before they start, and then they just go out and do it. Nothing could be further from the truth. Neither Jack nor I, nor any of the other successful people we know, knew how to get from where they were to where we are now. We just started off in the right direction and kept going, learning along the way. And in fact, a training like Jack's is an important part of that learning and will give you a huge boost and make your journey much, much easier. I sincerely mean it when I say that the success Jack and I talk about really is possible for you, no matter who you are or what your past or present circumstances might be. I've seen the results of what Jack teaches in many people, and when you decide to be at this event with Jack and all the other people you'll meet there, many of whom will very likely become your friends and mastermind partners for life, it really will change your life and set you on the road to creating what you want. This year's training is at the beautiful Fairmont Scottsdale Resort in Scottsdale, Arizona. There's also a great payment plan, which you can look at online if that makes it easier for you to be there and get all the benefits Jack has described and a lot more he didn't have time to talk about. Finally, this event is 100% guaranteed. If, after attending the entire event, you aren't totally satisfied, just say so before you leave and Jack will retire tuition. You have the world's most prominent and accomplished success trainer speaking directly to you for a full 7 days, showing you everything he's learned in creating his own success and in over 30 years of teaching others how to be successful. In fact, Jack has an amazing track record of creating success even for those for whom nothing else has worked. So, if you're ready to be a part of this, if you can see yourself as that new person living your dreams and having fun doing it, grab a pencil and I'll tell you how to register. To reserve your spot for the upcoming training, go to canfieldtrainings.com and fill out the easy online registration form or call 800-237-8336. That's 800-237-8336. There's limited space in this training, and Jack is expecting it to fill up quickly, so do this now while you're thinking about it. So, in closing, I want to thank all of you who are listening for participating in audio training. And thank you so much, Jack, for delivering such great content and for being a part of my life. By listening to this program tonight, you've taken the first step to living your dreams. Do keep going, and please don't let anything stop you. Jack wanted me to tell you he looks forward to seeing you and working with you so you can achieve all your goals and all that you want in life. Be well.